There is a word from the Lord on today, and it shall come forth from the 118th division of Psalm, the 17th verse. Psalm, the 118th division, and the 17th verse. And it reads as follows. According to the New American Standard, in this manner: I shall not die, but live and tell of the works of the Lord. Let me say it again. I shall not die, but live and tell of the works of the Lord. If it be the Lord's will, we want to speak for a moment here from this theme and thesis entitled Live.
Come on now.
Live. The psalmist here, undescribed, reveals his heart's gratitude toward the Lord God Most High. As he begins this psalm, this sonnet, this song, he begins with gratitude and thanksgiving. As he matriculates through this song, this sonnet, this song, he reveals the difficulties, the challenges, the obstacles, the enemies that have come against him. But in spite of it all, folk that have done him wrong, come, tried to hurt him, harm him, kill him, in spite of it all, he's got a heart of gratitude, a heart of thanksgiving. And then the ultimate comes, a decree and a declaration: I shall not die, but live and tell of the works of the Lord. I stopped by here long enough just to let you know that I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care who's come against you, how the odds may have been stacked against you. If you'll give thanks to the Lord, and if you'll live your life with a heart of gratitude and a heart of thanksgiving, you too can make a decree and a declaration. Because of the Lord God who has made you, who has created you, has saved you, has sanctified you, has set you free, you too can decree and declare, I shall not die. Maybe a whole lot of folk that won't be dead. Maybe a whole lot of folk who come against me. But you can make a decree and declaration, no matter who, if the whole world be against me, God for me.
Amen.
Is more than the whole world against me.
Amen.
He says, I shall not die.
Amen.
Even if folk want me to die. Folk hating. Oh, there's some haters out there. Don't get me wrong now.
Don't do it.
Yeah, you got some haters out there. Folk that dislike you for no reason at all. You hadn't done them anything. Matter of fact, there's some folk out there that you've done nothing but bless, and they'll do everything they can to curse you. But you can still decree and declare, I shall not die, but live and tell of the works of the Lord. And I want to stop long enough to let you know that the whole reason, somebody gonna make me pray in here, the whole reason why you went through in the first place, oh, you better hear me today, is so you could have a story, so that you could have a witness. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ is the testimony born at the proper time. Good God Almighty. Even before he was the lamb slain before the foundations of the world, but yet he was the testimony born at the proper time. In other words, he was destined to go through in order to get to what God had purposed and ordained. And I got to stop long enough to let you know that nothing you've gone through in your life has caught God by surprise. And what the enemy meant for evil, God intended for your good. God intended for your good. So yeah, we shall not die, but live and tell of the works of the Lord. And I want you to examine those three things, and I don't want you to ever forget them. See, this person in that decree and declaration went to opposite extremes in that declaration. On the one hand, I shall not die, but I'm going to do the exact opposite of die. I'm going to live. Exactly what the enemy purposed for me is the exact opposite of what I'm going to have.
Amen.
But not only that, I have a responsibility. I have an obligation, is what the psalmist is saying, because the Lord kept me alive, because he didn't let your enemies kill you, because he didn't let your enemies destroy you, because he didn't let your enemies overwhelm you, overcome you. Even though you were counted out, God had you counted in. So we all have an obligation to do the third thing in this passage of scripture, this verse of scripture, and that is tell. See, you got to tell. Y'all, I don't know if y'all hear me today. See, I'm going to tell you why so many folk are bottled up in jail. Somebody going to make me preach it here, and I might even pray. See, because, see, the whole purpose for you going through is so you can get out the goodness of God. The fact that he kept you in spite of your situation, in spite of your circumstances.
Amen.
The enemy left you for a basket case.
Yes. Come on. Yep.
But God won your case. Praise God. On Calvary's cross.
Hallelujah.
With the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Because by his stripes we are healed. We are the redeemed of the Lord, and we ought to say so.
Hallelujah.
We have an obligation to tell somebody about the goodness of God, about the good works of God, about all the things that he's done for us. And let me tell you something. The folk who are mad and mauled up and balled up and in unforgiveness and anger, those are the folk who hadn't been telling folk.
They ain't been telling nobody.
Look here, let me tell you something. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, it's important that we hear ourselves praising God. It's important that we hear ourselves thanking God. It's important that we hear ourselves being grateful to God for the good things that he has done. So when we're telling the works, it's not only for the other folk who are the hearers, but it's first and foremost for us. It's for your healing. Is for your health.
Amen.
See, a word spoken, in season, the Bible says it's like medicine. Oh, you better hear me today. See, the doctor can't prescribe you what God has purposed for you when you will just tell somebody about his goodness. About his goodness. About his greatness. About his grace. About his mercy, about his favor, about his loving kindness. About his power, about his might, his saving grace. If I had time to tell you, I've been counted dead more times than not. Matter of fact, there's some folks still think I'm dead, but I'm roaring back.
Amen.
I said I'm roaring
Amen.
Back. I've been tunneling up through the darkness, tunneling up through the night, on my face before God, in the word of God, meditating on him day and night. And folk who think I'm dead are going to be surprised, because I'm going to shine like the sun with the God who, who's within me. Who is within me. Who is within me. See, you can heal yourself. I said you can heal yourself. Just by being grateful. By being thankful. To the Lord. Instead of mad at man, be glad at God. Oh, y'all better hear me today. I said instead of mad at man, glad at God. To where you can tell folks what your enemies intended, but what God gave you instead. Beauty for ashes. Oh, you better hear me today. Huh? Gladness for mourning. Strength for peace. Oh, bless his holy name today. Bless his holy name today. I shall not die, but live and tell of the works of the Lord. Let's investigate, if we will, this thing called death. See, in order to know what life is, or to know what a thing is, sometimes it behooves a person to know what it is not, in order to get a better understanding of what it is. See, the reason why a lot of times folk don't know what they have it is because they don't have an appreciation for what they don't have. Oh, let me explain for just a moment. See, it's just like a person who's going around healthy and whole and but some things that happened to them in life, and they run around here mad and upset and angry and unforgiveness and all this kind of stuff. And then something happened to them. They get sick. And then all of a sudden, the only thing they can think about is getting well. But see, had they appreciated wellness, oh, you better hear me today. Had they appreciated wellness to understand that they did not have sickness, had they appreciated the blessing to understand that they did not have a curse, they would have given more thanks and more praise. And in all likelihood would not have gone into what they ended up getting. But see, like I said, sometimes somebody said it this way. Some folk don't appreciate things until the well runs dry. See, long as they got water, the gratitude and appreciation ain't what it should be. See, I've seen some folk in relationships. I've seen folk that's demeaning and mean and ugly and all this stuff. But when the person's gone, I've seen folk disrespect the father, mother, or brother, sister, or all these kind of things, or husband, wife, and then when they're gone, they loudest cry in the church is the folk going around singing the shoulda, coulda, wouldas. If they had only known. If I'd have known they were sick, if I'd have known they were going to be gone, if I'd have known, listen to me, give thanks. Amen. Appreciate what you have. Know what you've got. And what you don't have. See? Yeah. He says, I shall not die. This word die here out of the Hebrew is the word muth. It's spelled M-U-W-T-H, and it sounds like M-O-O-T-H. It's the word muth, okay? And literally, this word began in Genesis, the second chapter. See, because what this person is decreeing and declaring is really two things. That they're not going to die physically, and that they're not going to die spiritually. I got some good news for you. See, the person who doesn't die spiritually will never die physically. See, somebody's supposed to get helped up in this place. See, somebody's supposed to get helped up in here. See, the reason why the enemy comes against folk is to discourage them. One of the WMDs of Satan, one of the weapons of mass destruction of Satan is to discourage people, to get them in a state of hopelessness, so that they will give up and quit. And the place that he wants them to give up is to give up on God. Oh, you better hear me today. Because, see, he knows where their help come from. Question on the floor is, do we know? Our help comes from the Lord. Yeah. The devil knows where it comes from. See, he wants folk to walk away and quit on the Lord, so that they can leave their help. Because once they've left their help, they're helpless. And once they're helpless, they are vulnerable for every attack of the enemy. And he can carry them away in sin and destruction. But this man of God, who penned this song, this sonnet, this song, says that he shall not die. He shall not die. Over and against what he has purposed and decreed and declared concerning God's word for him, and that is to have life. But he speaks against what the enemy intended. He says, I shall not die. No move for me. Amen, somebody. No move for me. You have to say, no move for you. Yeah. Yeah. No dying here. Because, see, to die spiritually, is to open the gates for physical death. Let's go to Genesis, the second chapter. Hold your place here for just a moment. In Genesis, the second chapter, and particularly, we'll start in verse 16. Yeah. Matter of fact, we'll read verse 16 and 17. Once again, as always, we're reading according to the New American Standard Version. The scripture says, and the Lord God commanded the man. Let's stop right there. See, what God does first matters for the rest of time and eternity. I say what God does first is relevant and matters greatly for the rest of time and eternity. See, what God did with the first man is relevant and matters significantly concerning every man that's come after the first man, as well as the first woman for that matter. So the scripture says, and the Lord God commanded the man. Every single one of us are under the commands of God, under his precepts, under his judgments, under his statutes. Every single one of us live under the jurisdiction and authority of God and his word. In fact, the Bible begins identifying God in this fashion. See, what God does first is magnified significantly. If a person went to the very first verse in the Bible, and I'm going to read it for you, the very first verse, hold your place, we're coming back to it. It says, in the beginning, God. The first time God ever mentions himself, four words into all of Scripture, the first four words, the fourth word, in the beginning, God. The word that he uses to identify himself here is the word Elohim. And it means supreme ruler and supreme judge. Somebody better hear me today. See, yes, God is a God of love. He's a God of mercy. But he's first and foremost God who is authority. Amen. And he expects us as his children, as his creation, to heed his word, to yield to his authority. Because he is the supreme ruler and the supreme judge. In the beginning, God, Elohim, supreme ruler, supreme judge. Now, don't get me wrong. He's privileged us to have an intimate and personal relationship with him through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But see, what we've got to learn to do is we've got to learn to balance life based on relationship. See, I've seen, somebody gonna make me pray in here. See, I've seen some men, any woman walk by look good to them, but they wife. In other words, what God has given them and what they've been blessed with, they don't appreciate. And the only thing that they have appreciation for is what they don't have. And what they do have, they misuse and abuse it. And I've seen vice versa, woman with the husband. See, that's why the Bible says that a woman ought to submit to her own husband. Amen. See? Amen. If she's going around submitting to all these other women's husbands, but not her own, she got life backwards. We've got to appreciate, we've got to be able to have the intimacy and closeness of relationship, but yet have a position to where we can stand back far enough to know who we are and where we are and what we have, to where we can give love, honor, and respect to the blessings that God has placed in our life through relationships. Amen. And especially to those who are closest to us. Amen. It's kind of like a person looking at the lines in their hands. If they hold it out so far, they can see it clear. They bring it a little closer, they can see it even better. But if they bring it too close, it becomes obscured. If they're looking at the lines in the palm of the hand, if they bring it too close, right up on top of their face, what was clear now becomes obscured, becomes blurred. And sometimes that's the way people handle relationship. And see, we got to be careful. Yes, Jesus Christ is our personal Lord and Savior. And yes, God loves us. And yes, he's extended us grace. But that doesn't mean that we can be irreverent toward him. See, we have to treat that which is holy as holy. We can't treat God commonplace like a jack in the box and, oh, he's my ace boom partner. I think you better reserve that for somebody else, because that's not who God is, and that's not what he's trying to be to you. He's your God. He's your Savior. He's your Lord. He's your master. He's your deliverer. He's your victory. He's your peace. He's your prosperity. He's a whole lot of things, but he's not your homie. Amen. See, we got to keep things in proper perspective. See, and the closer we get, the more reverent we ought to get, not the opposite. And the same thing with human relationship. The closer the relationship is, the more grateful we ought to be, the more appreciative we ought to be, not the opposite. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Getting back to chapter 2, verse 16 of Genesis here, it says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you shall surely move." You shall surely die. This is the first time that word was ever mentioned in Scripture. you shall surely die. It means to die spiritually, meaning to lose relationship with God. See, sin separates people from God. See, Satan wants to make it a pretty thing. Oh, it's no big deal. He wants it to be a casual, nonchalant kind of thing. Well, you know, hey, we just human. Everybody understand. Everybody makes mistakes. No big deal. And they feel like that's a license to just keep on sinning with no conviction. Can I stop long enough to tell you, dealing with a holy God who's given you his holy word and who has commanded you in righteousness, and he's done it in order that you might live.
Amen.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
In order that you might live. In order that the blessings of God may be yours.
Amen.
Yeah, that's why he's done that.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, he says, for in the day that you eat from it, you shall surely die. In other words, in the day that you disobey me, my commandment, my word, God is telling Adam, you shall surely die. You shall surely move. And see, so for the believer who is serious about God, see, we cannot go with the doctrine of men and say that, okay, we operating under grace and it's okay to live in sin. No. The Bible says that because of grace, he says that we're not to use the cross of Christ, the sufferings of Christ, as an occasion to our flesh. He says that those who have died to sin, meaning that they live unto God, no longer should live therein, should no longer live in the death that they've been delivered from. And that's what sin is, it's death. Because sin, by definition, is really three words: disobedience to God. Nothing sophisticated about it. Okay? Yeah. So, when the psalmist here in the 118th division of Psalm and the 17th verse says, I shall not die, he's not only making a declaration concerning the opposites, but live and tell of the works of the Lord. What this person is saying is they've got their mind made up that they're going to obey God no matter what. That they're going to honor God as God. See, otherwise, that's just lip service. See, Jesus spoke concerning the Pharisees. He said they draw near to me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In other words, they talk a good game, but they're not going to walk it at all. So a person who's not committed to obeying God, to living in obedience to God, to his command, to his precepts, to his judgments, to his statutes, a person who is not committed to that, they may be able to make this declaration with their mouths, but it has no significance to their lives if they're not if they don't mean what they've said.
Amen.
Let me explain what I mean. See, all have sinned and come short of God's glory and his standard of righteousness. And there's none righteous, no, not one. See, but it's different for somebody who's on their way to Dallas, amen, somewhere, and catch a flat, and then they got to change that flat and keep on going toward Dallas, versus somebody who's supposed to be on their way to Dallas. Amen. But they're heading in the opposite direction. But they said they're going to Dallas, but they're going a whole nother direction. They'll get to Africa before they get to Dallas. Amen, somebody. So the whole idea is to point our lives to have God as our pursuit. Amen. And yes, we can decree and declare that we shall not die, Amen. But live and tell of the works of the Lord because of our commitment to God and because of Jesus Christ being our personal Lord and Savior and because we are his righteousness, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. We can make this decree and declaration. And because we make this direct declaration spiritually, to live our lives for the glory of God out of the hearts of gratitude and thanksgiving for the goodness of God, then the Bible says that those who are in Christ shall not die, but they shall just fall asleep until the trumpet sounds. Because there is no death in Christ, there's just life. Amen. Okay? Yeah, he says, I shall not die, but live and tell of the works of the Lord. Now listen to this. This word not only reflects death, and once again, it's over and against the word life here, or to live, because we're talking about living. Our theme and thesis is live. And in order to know how to live and what living really is, we are exploring what death is in order to highlight what life is. Okay. See, death here also reflects these words. It literally means to kill or to destroy, to put to death or to execute. See, a person who is not committed to honoring God in their lives, they're killing their own blessing. They're destroying their own relationship with God and others who God has placed in their lives. Oh, you better hear me today. And through their own misdeeds, through their own disobedience to God, not only in their attitudes and their actions, but in their words. They are putting to death. They are killing. They are destroying the very things that God purposed to live in their lives. See, because in order for somebody to live, they've got to have life all around them. The person who's steadily killing off the life through not having a right relationship with God, they will destroy human relationships. The very people that God didn't put in their life to help them get to their destiny. Oh, you better hear me today. To get to the blessings that he's purposed for. See, the person who's living in disobedience to God, won't recognize the blessings of God, and they'll have the exact opposite response that God intended for them to have. Can you imagine a person drowning in the ocean, and God sends a boat out to get them, and they get angry and say, I ain't want this boat. Start shooting up holes in it to drown the people that's in it and to kill and destroy the very thing that was meant to be their passage to safety, their passage to success, their passage to victory. See, that's how some people handle relationships, their relationship with God and their relationship with others. They're destroying everything that God purposed to bless them. And they end up cursing the blessings and blessing the curses. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. See? So when we say, I shall not die, we've got to mean it, and it begins with our relationship with God. Because all of life begins vertical before it goes horizontal. Okay? Yeah, it means literally to kill, to destroy, to put to death, to execute. And there are people killing and destroying and putting to death and executing life and the lives around them, blessings that God has given them, opportunities that he's put in their way, dreams that he's reserved for them to come to true, to come to pass in their life. In other words, they're their own worst enemy. They're the source of destruction in their own life because of a failed relationship with God or not having a right relationship with God. And let me tell you something about people like that. The first thing they're going to do is blame everybody else. They're going to blame all other folk. We've got to handle our relationship right with God. Amen. And born out of that relationship, we got to handle them right with others. Amen. But that leads me into this component. We got to be careful what we speak. Amen. Turn with me to Proverbs the 18th. Hold your place in Psalm 118, but turn with me to Proverbs 18 and verse 21. The Bible says that death and life, they're those two opposites again. They're those two opposites. Death and life is in the power, the Bible says, of the tongue. There's those two opposites. That word power out of the Hebrew translates hand. So if we read that with the translation, death and life is in the hand of the tongue. Folk don't think like that. That doesn't even make sense. You telling me my tongue has a hand? Yeah, your tongue has a hand. God is saying that a person, by what they speak, hands themselves what they're speaking. But a person who's going around killing everything that God purposed to bless them, destroying every relationship, walking in obedience to God. Well, I know what God say, but I'm going to do this. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to. Well, there it is. That mouth is. See, the Bible says that death and life is in the power of the tongue, in the hand of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Oh, if I had some time. If I had some time. See, there's some folk claiming life, but they're in a love relationship with death. They're intertangled and intertwined with death because they don't have a right relationship with God. And if they're not careful, this same person will go around fooling themselves until it's too late. I said they'll go around fooling themselves until it's too late. I said somebody's going to make me pray today. Oh, I'm here to bless you. They'll go around fooling themselves until it's too late. See, the half-brother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Apostle James, he says that this word, the word of God, is the mirror of life. He says when a man, a woman, a boy, a girl looks into the word of God intently, he said, let them not forget what manner of man that they are. See, when folk look into the mirror and start forgetting what God has said, they forget what they look like. When they forget God's standard, they forget what they look like. When they forget God's measure of righteousness, they forget what they look like. And they go out ill-prepared in life, fooling themselves. That they are presenting themselves properly and right when they're doing so in error. Because this is the only way to find out what you look like, what you sound like. Oh, is a person's life, in other words, is the person's life reflecting that which is pleasing to God? That which reflects obedience to God and His Word? Or does it reflect something else? See, the person going around with their mouth, oh yeah, I love the Lord, I love the Lord. God says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. See, so when folk go around, oh yeah, I love the Lord, I love the Lord, I love the Lord. And every time you look up there in some kind of dirt, in some kind of darkness, doing some kind of devilment that they ain't got no business, and it's a practice for them. But they've convinced themselves that there's something, they righteous and that everything's okay. I recommend you look in the mirror. Amen. Folk going around speaking death to other folk. Every time, if folk who are around them in their privacy, every time they open their mouth, they're speaking evil about somebody else, talking about folk, putting somebody else down, something wrong with everybody else. Listen to me. See, either we bless or we curse. Either we build up or we tear down. Either we're doing what's pleasing to God or displeasing. Let a person not be under some kind of delusion to think that they have life when they love in death. See, to love death is to keep on doing wrong even though when folk know what's right. See, because the Bible says that sin is sin to those who know right but do wrong. Amen, somebody. In other words, have a lifestyle. They practice wrong. Okay? Yeah, he says death and life are in the power of the tongue. Huh? And those who love it will eat its fruit. I'm not going to have time to extrapolate through these other two components in this passage here. I believe each one of them unto themselves is a different sermon. And this whole psalm here is a series that we shall continue to embark upon. This has been part one of Live. Part one of Live. And I just want to stop long enough to encourage us. Live. Don't hand yourself death. Through attitude, through actions, through words, through deeds. Let your decree and your declaration be who you are, be your identity, and what you live and practice. So that you too can say, I shall not die. Born out of your relationship with your maker and your creator. Having accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, meaning that you obey him and not sin. Amen. We shall not die, but live and tell of the works of the Lord. You receive it today? Receive it today. In the name of Jesus the Christ, amen. Bless our God.